Okay. Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. My name is Spiral Blanton, and I've been a member here for a couple of years. In the pulpit this morning, we have Sabrina Trapia. The title of her sermon is Spaces Within, a Meditation on God and Loss. Everyone is invited to stay following this worship service for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in our fellowship hall, the Kate Worker Room, just through these doors behind me. If you are a newcomer here this morning, we extend to you a special welcome and hope that if this is your first time to visit, you'll consider entering your name on one of the visitor cards that can be found in the back of your hymnal and placing the card in the offering plate or handing it to an usher. If you'll do that, we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about all the programs and activities going on here at church. If you're visiting for the first time and have children with you, we want you to know that your children may certainly stay with you during the service, but we do have a professionally staffed nursery for infants and young children, and there are classes for older children from preschool through middle school. If you would like to learn more about the church and about Unitarian Universalism, please visit the information displays in our fellowship hall where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information that you are certainly welcome to take home with you. And now, I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you don't know yet. I know. And now, if you have a short announcement for the good of the church, please come to the microphone and share.
First. Hi, I'm Mona Hebert, and I'm just a reminder, if you have any shoes, slippers, flip-flops, boots, anything you want to get rid of in that situation, as long as they're still wearable, whatever, no holes in the soles, I'm collecting them for SLU in the Battle of the Boot against WashU, and we want SLU to win. And so you bring them into me, any kind of shoes or whatever, and then we hand them in, and then they get converted to the water filtration system that they will build in countries like Haiti and Guatemala and stuff like that. So any shoes you want to get rid of, slippers, flip-flop, boot, anything like that, bring them in to me, because I'm finally determined we're going to beat WashU.
Hello, I'm Juliette Crone Willis, the Director of Religious Education. That's not actually my title. I am the religious education coordinator. There we go. This afternoon, after second service, starting at maybe 12:15, we're going to have a roundtable discussion about what children's religious education is going to look like here next year. And I invite everybody to join us, maybe even especially if you're not a parent, because we love to hear voices from the whole congregation. So I would love to see you all there. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Lee. June 6th at 7 p.m., we're going to have a farewell party for Kleber and Linda, and we'll have entertainment first and then some food afterward. But we're looking for photographs and memories from all of you. and pictures. If you could send those as soon as you can to Robin Berkeley, she's the one in charge of putting this book together. And I'm coordinating kind of the whole thing. So on the bulletin board where it says coming events, there's a paper that says June 6th on it. We're trying to figure out about how many people will be there, so because it's related to food. So if you could put a little mark that you're coming, that would be great. If you want to be involved, we do need a cleanup committee, so to make sure everything is cleaned up, because on our party's going to be Friday evening. On Saturday, there's going to be a wedding here. So we need as much help cleaning up as we can in both places. We're going to have appetizers and dessert rather than a sit-down dinner.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Kelly Crone Willis, the board president. And in first service, as I was making another announcement, somebody reminded me that you might not have heard if you just weren't here last week, because I think that's when I announced it. We did make our pledge drive goal of our lower limit. Our lower limit was 110,000, and we made it almost 113. So we did eventually make our lower goal. And the board this past week just finalized our budget, getting it ready for the congregational meeting that comes up May 18th. So there will be a congregational meeting here on May 18th. But really, every week, the board's wanting to keep you up to date on what's going on with the interim minister search. And this week, really, almost nothing happened. So it was a week ago, our application to the UUA was due. And so I announced last week that I got that in successfully, and the UUA has a hold of it. And then what they're doing in the next 10 days after that is they're matching potential ministers with potential churches and then making a short list offering to the churches. Now that happens in three phases. It kind of rolls through. So like the best fit and the most interim trained and the professionally trained ministers go in the first round. And we might not get an offer of a minister from the UUA in the first round, but that list could come tomorrow or Tuesday. They didn't have a fixed date on that, but it's coming this week. And then there's like a 10-day period for the next one. Next phase is like ministers you haven't found a place yet. They'll generate another list. Then there's like another 10 days, and we might also still get someone in that third phase. So we're just kind of waiting now until we get matched up with some potential ones that we can look at their resumes. So not much has happened yet, but I'll keep you posted.
I'm Char McAllister. Lee and I are organizing the spring rummage sale, second annual. There are things on the bulletin board on upcoming events. Please look at it today before you leave. But there's some important things that I need congregational information for you to maybe bring next Sunday. We need paper bags. We need plastic bags so our visitors can go away with items that you've bought. Delivery dates. During the week of May 5th, I have those on the bulletin board also. It's in the newsletter if you have access to the internet. And also, I've been posting things on UU Friends. But we are needing hands during that week to help price items and to set them all out into the arrangements that we did last year by categories. So I've got, I think, 7 people so far. We can always use more people. The next thing, two important things, is we need a cleanup crew. After last year, it went fast like a flash. It was unbelievable. So we're hoping to do that again this year. We need a cleanup crew to arrive on the 10th here at 1 o'clock to help get tables back into order, get things moving back, because the next day is Mother's Day. And there's another activity happening here at the church on Mother's Day. So we want everything pristine and looking back into shape. So we'll need some hands. So if you want to share with me today before I leave that you'd like to help on the cleanup crew on that Saturday after the sale, that would be great. More hands means that you can have more of an afternoon. And we need people who have trucks or vans or SUVs to be here at 1 o'clock also, because we donate all the extra items to Beverly Farms in Godfrey for the developmental resale shop, and they love us. So I contacted them again and they said, yes, please bring them. So I would say if we can at least have three trucks, that would be helpful. So that went smooth last year too. So I need some people with trucks, vans, or SUVs, or many cars to help us transport to Humbert Road and Godfrey. Also on next Sunday, please be here. Next Sunday after church, we also have a potluck. And after the potluck, we would like to have people stay a few minutes later. If you have strong backs or if you have children who'd like to help, we're going to get all the stuff, the donations, out of the basement and make a chain and moving them up the stairs. We're trying to be much more helpful on our backs. And that's one thing we've added this year into it. So if we can have helping hands move the stuff up, then we can actually move it in here to the Kate Worker room onto tables, because tables will already be here. So that's what's happening on the rummage sale.
So I'm also asking for people to do hard labor. I'm kidding. May 31st is the date of our intercongregational social justice event. We are helping to clean up some vacant lot areas in north of Del Mar neighborhood in conjunction with our fellow UU congregations. That's May 31st. So if you are available, I have one person signed up and a few other verbally committed. So that's like four or five people. I would like more of us to come. We are going to have on Mother's Day also the plant sale, and we're also going to have a guest speaker that day who is involved with this social justice event, so you can learn a little bit more about that neighborhood and who we're going to be helping. So if you're interested in helping clean up vegetation, brush, and debris on May 31st, see me or sign up on the desk in the worker room. Thanks.
I have just a couple more things about the June 6th farewell party for Kleber and Linda. You may have seen this in the church this last week that came in your email, but we're trying to get folks to offer songs or special poetry or other things that night for the service we're going to be doing, and then also during the party afterwards we'll be doing toasts, so be thinking of that. As far as the contributions with the service, if you have something you'd like to perform or share, you can let me know in person or email. I'm not gonna announce it now, but just get a hold of me or Sayer. The other thing that I wanted to pass along that the party committee has talked about is that we know that there's a few people in the church that have difficulty driving places at night, and we want to make sure that anyone wants to come is able to, if we can arrange a ride for you. So if you need that or know someone that does, please let me or Lee or someone know, someone on the committee. All right, so now I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any gratitude or celebrations you may bring with you to church this morning. Know that there will be time in a little while to share concerns and sorrows.
Hi, I'm Honor Dimmick, and yesterday I had yet another track meet, and I ran the mile, and I got a 1 second PR and fifth place.
My legal name change finally went through Friday, so I'm now legally Jamie.
I want wanted to thank everybody who showed up yesterday for Fourth Saturday Lunch. Lucy, Kathleen, Ethel, Mary, Spiral. We fed 100 people. Debbie. We fed 100 people. It was chaos, but we made it.
I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any sorrows or concerns you bring to church with you this morning. I have one, a couple, but my friend Dave that I talked about a couple of weeks ago going on hospice, I went to see him and his family yesterday. He's struggling more at this time, but surrounded by his family and a lot of people that love him. And just wanted to share that, keep him in your thoughts. May the gratitude and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all, and may the concerns and sorrows of each be carried in all our hearts. A burden shared becomes a load lightened. The prelude begins our worship service as Tori lights our chalice. May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other. Let us worship together. Our first hymn will be projected on the wall and is number 311 in the gray hymnal, Let It Be a Dance. Please rise as you are willing or able. Please join in the unison reading 600, both projected on the wall and found in the back of your hymnal. It is entitled The Space Within. 30 spokes share the wheel's hub. It is the center hole that makes it useful. Shape clay into a vessel. It is the space within that makes it useful. Cut doors and windows for a room. It is the holes that make it useful. Therefore, profit comes from what is there, usefulness from what is not there. From all that dwell below the skies, the songs of faith that arise, the peace goodwill on earth be sung, through every land by every tongue. Please be seated. We have been greatly blessed. Let us now give generously so that others might be blessed by the work of the church. The morning's offering will now be given and received. We receive with gratitude all generous gifts of time, talent, and treasure, and together we bless them and those who gave in faith, hope, and love.
Hey kids, come on down. There's more room down here. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm going to talk about something kind of difficult once you guys go to RE and I'm alone with the grown-ups. And I was trying to think of something that would be equal for you guys, and I found this book. It's called The Dark. I know a lot of you are a little bit older for this book, but it belongs to Isabella, and it's by Lemony Snicket, and it's about this kid, Laszlo, who's afraid of the dark. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically his story is that he's afraid of the dark, and he tries to avoid the dark all day until one night is nightlight goes out, and the dark comes to see him, and the dark takes him on a trip to the house to show him where the light bulb is. So we're just going to read the last few pages. This is in the basement. you might be afraid of the dark, but the dark is not afraid of you. That is why the dark is always close by. The dark peeks around the corner and waits behind the door, and you can see the dark up in the sky almost every night, gazing down at you as you gaze up at the stars. Without a creaky roof, the rain would fall on your bed, and without a smooth, cold window, you could never see outside. And without a set of stairs, you could never go into the basement where the dark spends its time. Without a closet, you would have nowhere to put your shoes, and without a shower curtain, you would splash water all over the bathroom. And without the dark, everything would be light, and you would never know if you needed a light bulb. What? Bottom drawer, said the dark. Open the bottom drawer. That's Laszlo. And he finds the light bulb. Thank you, said Laszlo. You're welcome, said the dark. By the time Laszlo got back into his bed, the dark was no longer in the room, except when he closed his eyes to go to sleep. And there he is, sleeping. It's hard with a microphone. The next morning, Laszlo visited the dark in the basement. Hi, he said. Hi, dark. The dark didn't answer, but the bottom drawer was still open, so it looked like something in the corner was smiling. Y'all see that? The dark kept living with Laszlo, but it never bothered him again. The end. What do you have to do now? Can you remind me? Have fun, learn something. Thank you. Today, I bring you one reading. It's a very excerpted short story by Donald Barthelme from an August 1969 New Yorker edition. It's called On Angels. The death of God left the angels in a strange position. They were overtaken suddenly by a fundamental question. One can attempt to imagine the moment. How did they look at the instant the question invaded them, flooding the angelic consciousness, taking hold with terrifying force? The question was, what are angels? New to questioning, unaccustomed to terror, unskilled in aloneness, the angels, we assume, wept. After the lamentation had gone on for hundreds and hundreds of whatever the angels use for time, an angel proposed that lamentation be the function of angels eternally, as adoration was formerly. The mode of lamentation would be silence, in contrast to the unceasing chanting of glorias that had been their former employment. But it is not in the nature of angels to be silent. A counterproposal was that angels affirm chaos, but there is not much enthusiasm for chaos among the angels. The most serious, because most radical, proposal considered by the angels was refusal, that they would remove themselves from being, not be. The tremendous dignity that would accrue to the angels by this act was felt the manifestation of spiritual pride. Refusal was refused. I saw a famous angel on television. His garments glistened as if with light. He talked about the situation of angels now. Angels, he said, are like men in some ways. The problem of adoration is felt to be central. He said that for a time, the angels have tried adoring each other as we do, but have found it finally not enough. He said they are continuing to search for a new principle. Thus end the reading. Let us join in a prayer meditation. I'm going to read a prayer from Reverend Victoria Weinstein from the UU Church of Greater Lynn in Massachusetts. It's entitled, Divinity is Our Birthright. Divinity is our birthright. God nods to God from behind each of us. But let us remember, as Mr. Emerson said, divinity is behind our failures and follies also. In the silence that follows, let us pray that we may notice and accept the divinity of tiny things, the divine of ordinary miracles, and even in the awkward mistakes, in frivolous conversations with friends, in wordless companionship with a loved one, in the work that seems futile one day but resonates with meaning the next, in the shared meal, the shopping list, in the peaceful sleep, in the simple procession of spring days. We pray this moment to keep a tender vigil over our precious, imperfect lives, to know each one as a vessel, however cracked or broken, of the holy. So may we strive to recognize the indwelling presence of God in all people, in all living things, and even in ourselves. In the silence, may we open our hearts. So may it be. Amen. Our next hymn is a song by Leonard Cohen, and it's entitled Who by Fire, and it's going to be performed beautifully by Lauren and Philip.
Calling. by bravery, who by accident, who in solitude, who in this mirror, who by his lady's command, who by his own hand, who in mortal chains, who in power, who shall I say is called? Shall I say is calling?
Gonna let them go their thing. Yay. So, I recently came across a photography exhibit called Absence of Presence by a photographer artist called Michael Samorov. It's an homage of sorts to another photographer, a German photographer called August Sander, and he was an early 20th century photographer that photographed ordinary people. I would like to show you some of these photographs and the interpretation of Mr. Samorov. When I first saw these pictures where the people were photoshopped off and only the object stayed around, I was shaken profoundly. I didn't know anything what this guy was trying to do. I knew in my heart he was talking about religion. And then, after I was done looking at these pictures, I read the blurb. And here's what he says. This is a philosophical discussion in terms of our existential condition. What really is our relationship to God or our relationship to being? The answer to that, universally found in all religions, is that we are part of a whole. In so being, we're an expression of a lack. But to me, this work is all about loss. As a part of this whole, I feel lost when the spaces become more evident, when a presence is no longer there, like in those pictures. I come from a family that, while otherwise loud, is very quiet about loss. In my family of origin, nobody can even hang up the phone. It is impossible. The call stretches out for several minutes while we pointlessly try to say goodbye. Nobody wants to hang up. We say goodbye, but we don't really mean it. You can only imagine how they deal with death and loss. Part of living in silence about loss has resulted in my never learning how to say goodbye properly. Because of this, in my life, I've missed several key opportunities for closure with people I loved, a lot of whom are no longer here in this earth for me to say goodbye to them properly now. It was a while before, as an adult, I started understanding that my inadequate goodbye skills were even a problem. Because of this problem I have, and many times in my life, I felt no outlet for my grief, like a barrier between me and goodbye had formed. Only very recently, this has started to change. That doesn't mean I don't feel lost just because I don't know how to say goodbye. I do. Quite the contrary, like the blank space in those photos, I always know loss is there lurking. I don't want to say goodbye because I know that I will have to say it again and again in pretty much any relationship or situation in my life. And this is where my search for God figures in. I think that I'm not alone in my tendency to look for a supernatural power in my darkest hours. And at those times, there's a natural tendency to look for the God that is my parent or grandparent, the God of my childhood, that in theory can make pain and suffering go away. But I can't bring myself to pray to this God. I have never been comfortable with the idea of my Lord and Father, my boss, somebody that is outside of me. That God is not in my image. And the presence of absent does not resonate with me as divine. I just feel lost. In the past, I thought it better to shape myself into an atheist and move on. Maybe if I really was an atheist, things would be better. Maybe this loneliness does not happen to true atheists, because true atheists don't seem to need the presence or feel the absence. But despite my professed atheism, it continued to happen to me. In retrospect, I think this may have been a sign I'd never stop believing in something. Last August, during one of our Spirited Worship Associates meetings, we discussed using God terminology and how one should perhaps try to open up to the possibility of inserting the mystery of the divine in everyday life. You know, just to see what happens. I decided to try, without irony, to think about God and blessings and mystery and presence and absence and what it all meant to me. I want to share with you a few excerpts from the journal I tried to keep when I decided to give myself 1 month of open-mindedness about God. Day 1, August 12, 2013. At Worship Associates tonight, I decided that I was going to try to insert more God in my life for 1 month to see how it goes. I'm interested in the landscape change once one does that, and if any good can come of it. Day 2, August 13, 2013. I have no idea where God is. Is God a schmuck like all of us? I don't even have the faintest idea where to start. Is this just a terminology thing? Do I even believe in God? Maybe I'm approaching it the wrong way. I came across this passage from Forrest Church's book, Love and Death. Highly recommended. Challenged by the demands of love and death, he says, I had to make room in my theology for a more capacious, if unfathomable God power. Of course Forrest Church had a theology, but do I? This may take longer than a month. Day 10, August 21st, 2013. Yesterday was the day my friend Dora got a PET scan and they found that the tumor did not shrink, but it grew, despite prayers and despite chemo. Where the hell is God when stuff like this happens? Thus end the excerpts. So, in the middle of my month with God, my friend got the worst, scariest news one could possibly get. She was going to die. She bravely kept a detailed blog where she gave us updates on her status. On day 15 of my God experiment, I emailed her something that started out as a thank you note for something she had sent my daughter, but ended up evolving into something more. She had written in her blog that sometimes she felt as if she was oversharing the details of her treatment and how low she felt at times, but that she would continue to show herself in her path, to learn from it and try to find some comfort. When I read that post, I wanted to hug her, I wanted to comfort her, but I could not directly because she lived many miles away. So I did the next best thing, I emailed her. Here's the strange part. When I was writing, the words just passed through me, they flew through me. I didn't double check, I didn't spell check, I didn't correct anything, I just wrote. This is totally not me, by the way. And I hit send. It seemed natural. And apparently, I found something to say that touched her. I will share a reply. Sabrina, your note moved me to tears. I wish everybody had your capacity to take in the situation, lumps and all. You acknowledge the pain, share it, and wish for more joy and hope to find me solace through means that would give you solace. I cannot ask or wish for more. I did that? How'd I do that? Would it have worked if I said it to anyone else? Would it have worked at any other time? Who knows? And frankly, who cares? My words and her words were just words. But at that moment, we were able to make a connection. And this might be an overused cliche, but I'll use it anyway. At that moment, we both tuned into something that was within us, but bigger than both of us. Because of that connection, I feel that some minuscule amount of universal pain was smoothed. And that was good. I've come to see something holy in that interaction. That, to me, was God. Through all her pain, both physical and emotional, my friend found time and strength to help stock an emergency food pantry for the poor in her neighborhood, to worry about her husband's state of mind, to send my daughter books and little silly gifts, to present a cheerful stance on the whole, and she was able to connect with the divine. She died December 3rd, and I guess this is goodbye. I've been carrying around this episode as a gift of grace, a moment of peace. I believe this has happened because I opened up to the possibility of God and let love rest within me, unquestioned and undisturbed. Reverend Rebecca Parker in the book A House for Hope says, "Revelation comes to those who are radically hospitable to what they do not know. The choice to take the next step is an act of holy curiosity." During the rest of that month, something started to bloom through what I now realize was an act of holy curiosity. My sense of the divine kept resiliently fending off the assaults of denial like a tiny green tendril, and it stayed. After nearly a year of sitting in the presence and the absence, I can now say that I believe in God. God in progress, if you will. made up of seedlings, renewing itself every time there is some kind of meaningful, authentic connection between living beings. Every time there is love, every time I recognize nature doing a small miracle. I prefer to call it spirit. As it turns out, of the three persons of the Catholic God of my youth, I always prefer the Holy Spirit. If you look at the Catholic lectionary, the reading for today, the second week of Easter, is John chapter 20. The salient part for me is the verses 22 and 23, to be specific, so you can look it up, because that is the moment when the disciples become apostles. And that is because apostolos means the one who's sent in Greek. And in that two verses, Jesus tells the disciples, I send you. And then he says, and I give you the Holy Spirit. Okay? I get it. I understand what happened. These people connected with Jesus, but also with one another, because they were going through something difficult and beautiful together. Death and resurrection. And now they're able to see a glimpse of this universal spirit that is in all of us. So what do I do for prayer to the Holy Spirit? How does that one do that? Well, a prayer to the Spirit that is in all of us is not an invocation, but is an evocation. It's a meditation. It's holding a butterfly in your hands, try not to hurt it too much. Focusing on love and compassion and peace in your heart, and then letting go. Amen. It's a formalized way to hope. Recognizing and accepting the existence of the Spirit, both in my heart and outside of it, has given me great relief and has made me rethink my attitude towards loss. Let me show you two more set of slides from tomorrow's work. Kind of like those I showed at the beginning, but a little bit different. Shown this way, the slides feel much better to me. I love a happy ending, don't you? The emptiness is still there, but when I change the order in which these slides are shown, something materializes out of the empty spaces. Somebody materializes out of the empty spaces, which is exactly what happened to all of us when we originally met the people we end up missing. Out of seemingly nowhere, once upon a holy time, we found a friend, a partner, a mentor, a coworker. Just like that. This is a special place. A place where I realize that I've caught the glimpse of God many times before. A place where I've been able to feel safe enough to sit with my feelings, whatever they may be. A few weeks ago, for what seemed like the first time in maybe ever, I found out that here, in this special place, I am able to feel grief as well. Wasn't pretty, it's kind of messy, grief is apparently, nowadays, I know. While I was here feeling sad for the impending loss of Kleber and Linda, like the proverbial ton of bricks, all other losses I'd experienced in the past I don't know, 30 years. And I hadn't been able to articulate, came back to hit me. My friends, family, grandparents, teachers, coworkers, even pets, I lost decades ago. And in the middle of this fountain of grief, all rolled up into this pain, came a moment of clarity, blessing. I thought, be thankful you knew them. Be thankful for the interaction with everyone you met, because through them you have experienced something holy. And after you say goodbye, keep saying thank you. Thank you for having been in my life, however briefly. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for laughing with me and crying. Thank you for finding the right words or any words. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for you. Meeting other people, connecting with other people, loving other people is what makes the spirit alive in our hearts and in the universe. We all must let go eventually, but we can keep giving thanks indefinitely for having had the opportunity to have people and God in our lives. So maybe. Our last hymn is, I'm not going to project it because it's wrong in the slides. It is right? All right, I'm going to project it then. Yeah. It's number 354 in the gray hymnal, though, if you want to look at the hymnal instead.
Thank you.
The benediction is from May Sarton. Help us to be the always hopeful gardeners of the Spirit, who know that without darkness nothing comes to birth, as without light nothing flowers. Go in peace and be good to each other.